Hey, welcome tonight. So happy to see our prayer gathering and new community coming together for our financial panel discussion tonight. And we're going to talk about the financial situation that our country is currently facing. And because of the financial distress that some people are under, we thought it'd be a timely, and whether the market has affected you or not, or the financial distress has come to your address or not, we thought it'd be a timely message because everyone has a friend, if you know what I'm saying. And we thought this would be a great night to sort of talk about the financial, some finance topics. So thanks for coming tonight. You know, and the crisis is spread not just throughout the landscape of America, but all over the world. And it's spread so far. I was reading this week that Iceland, even countries as isolated as Iceland, had to nationalize two of its largest banks and hope to get a loan from Russia in order to keep their economy going. And you sort of see these signs of desperation everywhere. And on a lighter side of this this sort of email that I got, there was a joke attached to it. Somebody sent me this email. It says, "What is the capital of Iceland?" $3.50. Yeah, so you want to hear another one, don't you? Because I've got them all day long right here. Last week, I heard one about banks. And so, Ed, Paul, this one's just for you. I went to buy a toaster, and it came with a bank. Just moving on here. Okay, so we'll just skip that card. We're going to introduce our panel guests for tonight because we're really looking forward to our discussion tonight. And the first person, we have two panel guests tonight, and the first is Ed Hirsch. He's the president of Assemblies of God Credit Union, and Ed is a retired command sergeant major out of the U.S. Army. He spent 25 years in banking. He sort of specializes in lending. He's done consumer lending, real estate, commercial lending. And we also have the chief financial officer from AGCU, Assemblies of God Credit Union, Paul Ebisch. And Paul is the author of a book which we have available here for you tonight, Net Worth Principle, Building Wealth Without Budgeting. I especially like the last part of that title, without budgeting. You're my man. Paul has actually personally advised me in my own, when I set up retirement, so we know each other, go back a little bit, and he is a registered investment advisor and very knowledgeable in all of the investment areas that we're going to be talking about tonight. So would you do me a favor and help welcome Paul and Ed tonight? Good to see you guys. We also would like to take a few minutes as we get settled here. There are some offering baskets on your table in front of you. If you have regular tithes and offerings tonight, we'd like you to go ahead and place those in there. We're going to collect the baskets at the end of the evening. So again, if you have your regular tithes and offerings, you can drop those in the basket, missions giving, and we're going to collect those at the end of the evening. Well, welcome, guys. And let's just check those mics for a second. Why don't you just tell everyone hi for a second?
Hello, everyone.
Yes.
And Ed. Hello.
Yes, very good. You know, banks and investment firms are absolutely getting swallowed up all over the world. I mean, not only this sort of astronomical figures that I can't seem to even get my arms around. I mean, $700 billion bailout plan and then another $250 billion to help keep banks in America solvent right now. I mean, these are some of the things that, like, I have no idea how this affects, first of all, me and what can I do about it. I'm sort of paralyzed. And so part of the genesis of this whole financial discussion is my own anxiety about what to do with and how to best prepare myself for the future. As I'm 30 years old now. There are some of us that are younger than I here, and there are some that are older than I. Only just a few, though. So, to be totally honest, I am not sure about everything that has happened in the past several months. But I'm hoping that sometimes throughout tonight, you can sort of shed some light on this and kind of layman's terms, just common everyday language about what we can do about our financial security. And I have some questions tonight that I'd like to ask you, and we could go through that. I have about five. But as you'll notice on your tables, there are some pens and blank sheets of paper. And what I'd like you to do is you can go ahead and take one of those sheets of paper. If you think you're going to have a question for our panelists, we're going to open it up for Q&A at the end. And as we typically do in our panel discussions. We will collect those two questions before the end, and I'll tell you when that question is. And so you'll want to write down a question if we don't happen to get to your question. I'm sure Paul and Ed will be happy to stay around if you'd like to talk to them personally at the table. And then would also like to make mention before we jump into our questions that Nicole and Kyle Pruitt are here, who are a part of our small groups. We have a small group ministry here, our Financial Peace Seminar. They're also going to be available at the table tonight if you'd like to look into maybe joining a small group that's right here at Central about Financial Peace Seminar. It's going to be a great, it'll be a great ministry to you if you need that. So we'd like to go ahead and jump into these questions if we can. And Ed, we'll just start with you. The first question that I have, maybe you're someone like me and you're not going to retire for many years down the road. Retirement's a long way away at this point. But I look at my report of my retirement, a 401k or whatever it may be, and I see it drastically going downward right now in value. And this, of course, makes me nervous because I think maybe there, you know, this is going to be really bad. Should I? What should I do? And so I kind of the question is, what do I do if I keep losing money in my retirement plan? Should I get out, stay in, buy gold? I know what bullion, maybe? I have no idea. Is that still going up? What should I do?
Well, first, I really wouldn't do anything, you know, regarding your 401k if it's losing. Right now it is dropping. But you're young enough that you can weather out this storm, because what has come down will eventually come back up. And when you are into mutual funds or in the stocks, you need to be in there for the long, term of that, stock program. So that's my advice, for you right now, is to hang in there. Don't panic. The worst thing you could do is panic, and then and stick with what your plan is already.
So stay in there, Paul.
Well, and one of the things I was talking earlier to someone, and the reality is people don't ask questions until it's really almost too late. Like you're talking about these hard economic times. If I go around the room, just about everybody's interested in economics and finance all of a sudden. I've never seen so many people who are interested in it all of a sudden. You know, of course, I've been into it all my life. I love this stuff, read all the books, read every day. I'm a geek when it comes to that. But all of a sudden, everybody's pretty interested in it. So, but they're asking the questions when it's already in hard times. So, you know, one of the things is to start to think about stuff even in the good times. You know, that's generally the better time to really start thinking about it. But most people wait until the struggles. But for someone that's younger and they're saving for retirement, their investments are down, I kind of think of it like this. My wife, Lisa, she likes to go to garage sales. Any garage sale people here? I'm not as much into it as she is, but she really loves to do that. Every spring, it gets into her blood, and she'll go out with $10 or $20 in her purse or wallet and get out there and try and find stuff. And one thing that's interesting, you might get to a garage sale, and you see some really cool stuff. And it's sitting there, and there's several of them there, and you want some of those things. But, you know, if you only have $10 in your pocket, and they're $5 each, and there's 10 of them, you can only get two, because you only have $10 at that moment. But if you would love to be able to run home, get some more money, come back and get them, and you hope they're still there. That happens sometimes. And that's a decent analogy for the stock market when you're young, is the reality is that you don't have much money. I don't know too many young people that are sitting with just tons and tons of money. In their 20s and 30s, and especially when they have all those kids, they only have so much money each month, $50, $100, $200, whatever it is, to try and buy these stocks or investments. So when the market goes down, you want it to go down and go down for a long time, actually. So for someone your age, Mike, the idea is that it would go down. Now, I know some of you are older, and you don't want it to be down for a long time. So, but when you're young, you want it to go down, stay down, so you can buy as much as you can month after month after month, and then you want it to hit its peak when you're about 65 years old when you go to retire.
So that's my plan.
That would be a decent idea. So you keep buying and get more shares. So instead of looking at the dollar amount, you wipe that out and just look at the number of shares. And since it's going up, it might make you feel a little better.
So if the shares then are going up, although my value is nosediving down a black diamond hill right now, that's okay because the shares are going up and eventually the value from those shares will increase the value.
You're trying obviously. To get a bigger bargain.
Okay, great. Well, we'll get back to this retirement thing in a second because this affects people differently depending upon their age, obviously.
I just want to add one thing to that. And just recently I read an article. If you are from 5 years from retirement, it still would be better not to panic in regarding the question that you just had. That hang in there, it will bounce back, supposedly.
Right.
That's what the experts say.
Okay.
But the experts said something different last year than they do this year, too. So.
Did the experts
Not
tell
this expert.
You?
I didn't.
Did the experts tell you when to panic? Because now's a pretty good time.
That's right.
All right. Well, we'll move on to question number two. So everyone has bills, and most of us have loans of some sort. Home mortgage, car loans, school bills, whatever. The reality is that for some, that there is not enough money at the end of the month or the middle of the month or however often you get paid to pay all of your bills. I have some personal friends who have either been laid off or because their job is 100% commission and the economy's down right now, their income has been significantly affected. What should one do if they begin to get behind on payments?
I'll take care of that. I've been in this business for 36 years, and one thing that I keep on stressing to everybody is that when you are starting to see that you're going to fall behind on payments, is that you need to contact your creditor and talk about it. Share with them what's going on in your life. In this business is that when we don't hear anything from you and the collection officers are starting to get on the phone when you're over 30 days past due and get 60 days past due and you're not responding to the phone calls, you're not responding to the letters, and all of a sudden you have to understand where we're coming from is that we're thinking the worst, that this person has left the town, left the city, and they are not interested in paying back their debt. Most people do want to pay back their debt, and if we know what's going on, we certainly can help you. And I know at AGCU, because we are a faith-based credit union, we are here to really take care of you, help you through this difficult time, because we know, again, it goes back to is that you have a bump in the road right now, but we are going to try to help you get through this season so that you be ready for when things get better in your life.
Good. Maybe a part of that is, too, is when the phone rings, if all of a sudden you feel paralyzed and don't want to move to answer it, there might be an issue there that you need to deal with. Because that's what I find is when people get behind, instead of the first reaction is to just go paralyzed, to freeze up, and try and ignore it and avoid and not open the dialogue with the bank or the credit union. And I had a lady even earlier this year and owned a business and was on the verge of bankruptcy. And she called me and, Paul, we didn't have the loan. But she called, what should I do? And I said, well, call the bank and talk to them. She called them and she's still in business now. So that still works. It's not easy. It sometimes takes away from our pride, and we have to humble ourselves. But that is one of the best solutions is to face it, deal with it, and talk to those that you owe.
Just as a follow-up to this, there are some that I would describe, and I have some friends, I just talked to one a few days ago, that they have called everyone that they owe, and the creditors are still demanding some money, and then they have this huge financial mountain that they're trying to get through that every single penny has to go through and go to and towards. And so we started using the phrase worst case scenario. And I'm just curious what you would say as someone maybe in their 30s or 40s. What do you do if you've been laid off, no money in savings, bills over your head? Where do you go? And I know that this is the topic of many books, and a lot could be said about this. We could fill up the whole night just on this. What give us two first steps that one should take if they find themselves in a worst case scenario?
Well, I'll tell you, it still goes back to getting back to the creditor. Yeah, and when you go back to the creditor, yeah, and tell them your situation, if you've been laid off, and no matter what type of situation it might
sure.
be, you have to let them know. But the one thing that you need to do, even before you call the creditor, is to know where, and it doesn't take much to try to decide what is happening. You know, you got to look at your situation. Yeah, you know, how much debt do I have on the home? Yeah, you know, there are. You know, if you have some equity, there could be a situation you could. You might be able to sell your home and get out from under that. You know, expense. Yeah, you know, and then maybe rent. You could look at the vehicles that you have. If you and downsize on a vehicle.
Right.
This is tough for a lot of Americans to do, and that is to, you know, to show that I need to sell and I need to get out from under this right away. You can't wait. You know, if you're laid off and you're going to be laid off for a while, you cannot wait.
Right.
You have to act upon it right away. You know, otherwise, it's just going to get deeper. The bleeding is going to continually to keep going. Yeah, you know, and so you need to stop, you know, the bleeding.
That's good. That's wisdom. Great.
Well, and one thing, we're in church tonight, and believers, the reality is this, and I actually sat down and had this conversation with my wife, because I actually involved in some different businesses and have different risk out there in the middle of recession time, and you start to get nervous and how that's going to happen, how's it going to affect me. But I sat down with my wife, Lisa, and said, you know what? I don't know what the future holds on these things. You know, we're plowing through and things are pretty good right now, and I don't know the future. But, you know, if we lose everything we have over the next few months or years or whatever, if I lose everything, you know, I'm a believer. I still have life. I still have my family. I still have those values. I still have so much. And I think one thing that seems hopeless, because we've read of stories of people killing their family and their self because they lost their job, lost their home, and it's almost flabbergasting to think, you know, they just took the most valuable things that they had, that again, if you lose everything, go bankrupt, the worst case scenario, you know, you have tomorrow to start over again. And especially if you're young, if you're older, that's going to be more difficult. But if you're below 40, I mean, you can start over again. The average age that people start saving for retirement is 45 years old. So you still have plenty of time, I guess. But, you know, that is the reality. And I guess in this whole turmoil that's going on that's so scary, you know it's scary when the bankers are sitting back scared too, finally, for a change, huh? They're generally sitting back pretty big fat cats doing pretty good, but they're pretty scared these days too. And when it gets to that, you know, the reality is we still have our hope in God, and that we'll pick up tomorrow. And we really have the true values in our family or relationships.
I'm reminded when Jesus told the man to be rich towards God and not rich towards the things, and put our value and identity in the things of the world, but be rich towards Him. The third question, how can one prepare to be laid off in a job? Maybe no one's laid off right now, and maybe we feel like everything's secure in our current occupation or whatever we're doing. But how should people, if we're talking about preventative things, being proactive and not just reactive on some of these financial situations that people find themselves in. I think for so many, I think people are interested in economics now because they're being affected and they're being reactionary to it. Well, what are some preventative steps some people can make before they're laid off in a job, before the, you know, creditors start calling or whatnot?
Well, you made a comment before we came up here that you like Paul's book on net worth principle. Yeah, because it didn't say anything about budgeting. And I have, you know, something over there. It's all on budgeting. And budgeting is a dirty word for most people. Yeah, they do not want to sit down and take a look at their finances. But the best way is to start saving. Yeah. And I know the rule of thumb out there is to have some say 6 months of your monthly salary, some say 3 months of your monthly salary. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that you got to start.
Right.
Yeah. And you need to take a look and set up a budget. How much room do I have in order to still maybe keep up with my expenses plus, you know, save for that day? Because it might not be just laid off. It could be something other severe, you know, like getting injured and you're,
right,
and you're off of work and who knows, anything else. It could be even the Lord calling you off, like what the Lord did to me is called me into ministry, told me to basically sell all, and,
wow,
and then all of a sudden you are out there, you know, doing the Lord's work, and you have to have something there, you know, to live on.
Right.
So, and actually, to tell you the truth, from that point on, the Lord allowed me to get down to where I had nothing but totally trust in the Lord in my finances. And he took me in that route so that, you know, one thing that Americans play on, and I'm kind of adding on to this, but we love options. You know, we play on options. Yeah. And when it comes to in Americans' life and finances, is that really we need to put our full faith, trust in the Lord by tithing, giving special offerings. That's one thing that you do not want to give up, you know, when hard times are coming right now. It goes back to is trusting in the Lord. But we take a look at, okay, what's my option? My option is, well, I can stop tithing. Oh, I can stop giving special offerings. Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do. And then, you know, look at your budget.
Yeah. That's good.
So,
Paul, would you like to add anything?
Well, you know, I'm being younger, and I have three little boys. And
he's saying that I'm much older than he is.
We identify between the two of us. We can span the gamut here.
So. There you go.
But, you know, when you hear these things of putting aside saving 2 months or 6 months worth of salary, monthly salary, I don't know, does that sound hard for anybody that's maybe, and of you that already don't, your kids are grown, when you had two or three or four kids running around, that probably seemed pretty impossible.
It was.
Okay, see, it really is hard for most people, okay, to come up with all that extra money, and sometimes, but that's one of the steps. So you hear that regularly, is that to put aside and try and get a couple months so you could live on, so you could make it through a downturn. But there's a couple ways to do that. One, you can try and just save a little, get it built up. That's the great way. But another way is you may have equity in your home, so you could open up a home equity line of credit. That doesn't mean go out there, unless you're banking at the credit union, no, just and use it all up and raise it up there and get that loan, but it's an open line of credit that's available to you. And one thing that a lot of people do is they don't go to get that until they're in trouble, okay? And then they're like, oh, what are we going to do? Let's go ask the banker if we can borrow money. I'm out of a job. Well, how many bankers want to lend you money when you're out of a job?
Yeah.
If you've ever been there, they're like, you know, they like give
that's
you
what,
that funny
that's
smirk.
What the, that's what they were doing the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's stated income. You just state the income there. But the reality is you want to line that up in the good times. Because in the good times, they're just falling all over themselves, drooling to give you that line of credit. Well, get it lined up. So you may not have the savings sitting there in a savings account or a CD or whatever, But at least you have an open line so that if all of a sudden layoff comes to your door, if all of a sudden your income just falls off a cliff, you still have something to draw on for a couple of months while you deal with the problem, work through it, and try and find a solution. Because, you know, that's where I see a lot of people. They're just stuck. And if 1 week's pay is gone, all of a sudden the ripple effect begins. And so that's kind of a different twist. I have a book, Net Worth Principle, and I'm very not, you know, I like to see debt go away. But that is a useful form to maybe, if you can't, get that line of credit while you're saving, and then you have the savings eventually in time. But there's two ways to do that and be a little creative, and maybe that'll help some of you.
That's great. Never heard that before. That's awesome. You guys are having like your own like banking party up here. I kind of felt that for a few minutes.
We're a credit union. We can be mean to the bankers. Oh, okay. No, just
well, the let me just, first of all, pause and say we're going to have two more questions. And so Ben right here is going to go around and collect questions. If you have one, go ahead and write those out, and you can submit those, and we'll take them up. He's going to go through them and just hand them up here in just a few minutes. Number four, I realize for those within a few years of retirement, this is a whole nother ball game for them. And you painted sort of the perfect scenario for someone who was young. Well, that scenario may be absolutely crumbling for some people, even here in this room, all over the country, for our friends or whatever, that are within a few years of retirement. And I realize that this is probably a sensitive subject, but I think one that we should address and should try to provide some sort of help to those who may be affected by this. What do you do right now if you are invested, your 401k, some sort of retirement, if you are invested and the value is significantly dropped, you are within a year or two of retiring, what should one do right now?
Well, you know, I have a lot of expertise in stocks and trading and different things like that and managing those things, but it was interesting. Come January of this year, last fall, nobody came ask me a question. You know, everybody's just feeling good. Their retirement account's going up, 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 and seemed like going way up in the sky. And I wish some of them would have came and asked me in December, because I'd have had some thoughts for them too. Especially those who were maybe fully invested in stocks when they're 60 plus years old, or 60 plus percent in stocks. When they're nearing retirement, because it's good to move more conservative. You need to, because the risk and the reward ratio changes. But the reality is, come January, February, March, people started showing up asking me questions. Paul, what do I do? They're 60, 62, 65, 66. And they are losing. They're down 10%, you know, and some were pretty frustrated at that point. And come to find out, we've now seen it down to 40%, which is actually fairly, it's very devastating. And I sat on the plane with a guy who literally, he sat there beside me. He said, I was going to retire next year, but now I can't retire till 2011 or 12. And that was prior to the massive fall that week. And I couldn't help but think of him the next day, because that's when we had that big 1,000-point swings. But that's the reality of where people are at. And so when people come to me and ask me that question, they want me to make a choice for them and say exactly what to do. They say, should I sell? Everybody says, hang in there, it's going to go back up. But then they see it fall another 10%. One way to deal with it is this. Don't try and be completely right. Everybody seems to be completely, I want to know, do I get out right now because it's going to go further, or do I hang in there because it's going to go back up? And I came to a simple conclusion, probably 7-8 years ago, when we went through the last big downturn and I saw a lot of people's retirement get hurt. And I said, split the difference. Sell half. You don't know whether it's going to go up. You don't know whether it's going to go down. Sell half. And then I can guarantee you, you're going to be half right. Half your money, if this is the bottom and you bailed at the bottom, half your money's still going to go out. and you're going to be right on that, and half that way. And that is a simple solution that a lot of people don't think about, but it can take a weight off you. Because it does, to me, it really gets serious to me when people come and they say, I can't sleep. When they hit that wall of the sleep's right. problem, and I would dare say there's probably been some in this room at this big of a crowd. I'm sure there have been. And that's a decent trick of the trade to help out and relieve some of that stress. To maybe if you're the guy who's been managing it and so cool all along, and your wife just feels like, putting an end to you to collect that life insurance policy because the retirement account now, that can help her settle down too. Because if you watch, there's the risk taker, which a lot of times is the guy, and he's not thinking through things quite as thoughtfully as that wife that God gave him. But, that brings... we have one over here.
He's testifying over there.
He's testifying. But that is a way to deal with that. And then also remember, in good times, that's when you want to sell. That's when you want to... a lot of people don't want to because they just get greedy, but take some profits off the table. There's nothing wrong with booking a profit. There's just nothing wrong with it. And if you might sell and then it goes up 3 or 4 times, you know what? That's okay. Book the profit, but stay on a plan and move more conservative. If you're hitting 60 years old, start moving more conservative away from so that, it doesn't get so deep in your craw that you freak out, because that button will push at the wrong time.
Right.
I happen to be one of the first baby boomers, so that's who you're talking about. Yeah. And my advice is those who are under 50, keep working, because I want my Social Security. Yeah. So that's part of my retirement. So make all the money you want. When you're at that age, these two, they can support me when I retire.
That's awesome. Well, anyway.
You want to cry, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, what I was hearing earlier this year about Social Security, I do want to cry. So anyway, number 5, how can I protect my money that I currently have and make sure it's safe? I do... have a friend who literally took out 80% of his savings and he bought gold. And he was talking to me about possibly doing that, and I just said, well, I don't even know where to go to buy that stuff, so I'm just not going to do anything right now. And so I'm not, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but I think what happened in this situation is fear really got the best of someone, and they start doing things that maybe they would not have normally done if things were normal. So let's talk, because, all kidding aside, finances are one of the things that can literally wreck a family and wreck stability in one's life. And we need to talk about the safety of our money. How do we keep it safe? What's the smart thing to do right now with that? Is a checking savings, is that safe enough? Are there any issues to be concerned with there?
That is a good question, and this is probably one of the biggest questions that we have when people come into the credit union. On the news, you hear a lot about FDIC insurance that the banks have, and of course, just recently, that increased the amount of that insurance up to $250,000, which is only good until the end of 2009, but where it would revert back to the normal $100,000. Now, there are ways that you can set it up so that you can technically set it up to where you would be covered if you have a lot of money, up to $1.1 million insured at a bank. But with the credit union...
I'll have to talk to you about that afterwards, the one point...
Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah, we got you. Yeah. You don't have to buy gold. You can just come
okay,
to...
Okay, good.
With the credit union, we are insured by NCUA. Yeah. And that is the National Credit Union Association. And it's the same as FDIC. The credit union is insured, and we have the same insurance, exact same insurance as FDIC. So you are protected, you know, at the credit union, and again, you would be insured up to $1 million.
Yeah,
but most people, that's not, not the problem. But the thing is that you are protected. Yeah, NCUA insurance is backed by the government. FDIC is backed by the government. They're very strong right now. The banks, there's been 15 banks that have gone under completely. Yeah, they're gone. Yeah, and there is over 100 banks on the chopping block right now. And even with that, FDIC is still strong, where the credit union is much stronger. Credit unions nationwide, we have good capital. At AGCU, we have not only good capital, we have good profits. We are, we have good lending, standards. We actually, what I've been saying, because I was a banker for 25 years, and that is, we still play by the rules. And when you play by the rules, you'll be safe. And that's where AGCU is very safe. So, if you're interested in doing business with us, come and see us. That's a little plug. Yeah.
Shameless plug there. That's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. Any other comments, Paul, maybe about keeping money safe or any other extra comments you'd make about that?
Well, in this time, and actually we've seen a lot, we've seen some people want to draw out more cash than normal. If you do go buy all that gold, you got to hold it somewhere. I wouldn't hold it in your house. I'd get a safe deposit box or something inside of a bank that's fireproof and safe. There's a whole lot of risk to that. You think, oh, I'll take all that money and keep it in my house. Well, your house can burn down, and guess what? Your money will go away that way, or somebody will break in. And part of it's just not panicking. We can't know the future. You want to take some steps, some precautions. You can split up your money into different financial institutions. My grandfather used to, when he took me under his wing when I was a teenager, and would show me his portfolio and show me his stuff. And whenever he would go look at a bank to put a CD in, he would find out the financials to see what they were like. Because when he went through the Great Depression, he actually lost all the money in one of the banks he had his savings in. And so he didn't quite have the security that us as Americans have had for a long time. But now all of a sudden we don't again. Now all of a sudden banks, credit unions, they're all in question. Will they fail? Will I lose money? With Indy Mac on the West Coast, people lost money if they had money in those accounts. So if there were businesses and had more than the insured amount, lots of them did. But the reality is this, is you got to take some precautions, get it insured, stay within the insured limits. If you go over the insured limits, find out how strong the bank is. There is a big difference between one bank to another bank or credit union. Some are very strong, some are not. They're on the verge of, they may have some issues too to deal with. So those are some questions to ask. All of that's public info. You can actually find it all online. You can find out the star ratings of banks at bankrate.com and credit unions. It'll tell whether you're 4-star or 5-star. And so that gives you some tips. But this is a particular time where you probably want to try and stay to the safer side with some of those resources. Some of you that might have CDs in different places. Don't worry so much about chasing the rate. If somebody's paying an astronomical rate all of a sudden in an environment like this, well, that might be a little flag to say, why? How can they do that? Because you don't want to get in the door before it closes.
Right.
So think about those things and don't get too greedy in a time like this.
Such great wisdom. We appreciate that so much. Can we express our appreciation to Paul and Ed? Thank you, guys. That's all of the stock questions, and now we have some questions from our audience here, and I'm just going to sort of go through these and have you guys answer them, and what I'd like to try to do is answer the question adequately, but we'll try to move through as many as we can, okay? The first question is, how worried should I be about the drop in my home's value? And it seems like a related question here. Will I be able to borrow against my home equity? How worried should I be about the drop in my home's value, and will I be able to borrow against my home equity?
Well, I'll tell you, living in this area, and I'll just address this area, is that we haven't felt the impression compared to what you would find in the housing market in California, Arizona, Nevada, Florida, North Carolina, and those areas. The property level there has dropped considerably. We still have, from talking to some realtors, they said that they've seen as much as 10% drop in value, but a lot of the homes that I've seen so far is that has not really dropped in value. We have still a lot of homes in Springfield that are under $150,000. And so if you take a look at the value, with your mortgage, and we will go up to, like at the credit union, we will go up to 90% of the value of your home less your first mortgage, and that's what you would be looking at for home equity. And again, we go up to 90%. So you might want to, like, do I want to go up to 90% or do I want to just go up to 80%? Give me some leeway, because it still goes back to some of those other questions that you've had, that if anything happens, if I do need to sell my home, I would have a lot better chance selling a home if I'm at 80% than I would be at 90, or what's happening with the market, a lot of lenders loaned at 100%. That's right. When you're in trouble. Yeah.
Any extra comments on that, Paul?
The reality is a lot of people won't be able to move around like they have in the past. There's not much of a pretty story, except that you're going to have to stay there and probably pay down on that home. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you do build net worth if you'll stay in a home for a while, pay it down, because every time you move, you end up spending a lot of stuff on, TVs and new stuff, new furniture and all that stuff. It really adds up. So it's a good thing to stay in the same house for longer than the average American has over the past decade. But the reality is, hopefully, you don't have to move and you're in one of those situations, because that can be difficult.
Great. Next question. Will AGCU loan everyone in this room $5,000 just for being great people? I'm just kidding.
That's not what it says.
No.
We can talk about that later. Anyway, okay, so the serious question is, how will the banks look upon a senior in retirement that needs debt relief? How will the banks look upon a senior that is in retirement that needs debt relief?
Well, if you're talking about banks, I'm not sure how the banks would look at it. For us at the credit union, that's where we would like to sit down with you and going over your budget and see what we can do to make the income, the expenses that you have, cash flow. And so my biggest thing is that come and see me, come and see Paul. We are here to try to help you, work with you, see what we can do, and give you some ideas. Because there's all kinds of different scenarios out there, could be addressed on that.
Good. Okay, and this is a related question. I've got several questions in here that have to do with 403Bs. And this one question is, if I'm a minister, should ministers pay off their home loan with funds and savings because of the uncertain financial times now and forfeit their income tax exemption for ministers' housing?
The reality, that's the safest way, I guess. If you're trying to reduce your risk as much as possible, pay your house off. I can't argue to not pay your house off. But from a financial perspective, I've figured it hundreds of times. It's better to keep your money in your 403B and have a loan on your house and draw out and pay for it that way, getting the tax benefits. I've calculated it many times. It's really, you end up acting like a banker. You're loaning money to yourself in a sense. You're making a spread, 1% or so more. And it may not seem like much, 1%, but 1% over 15, 20 years adds up to on a $200,000 house, let's say, will add up to maybe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 extra, which in retirement is a lot. So the best financial move is to stay the course, like you've probably been advised. But you know, if you're scared and you're struggling with sleeping at night, forget it, pay it off, move on, and get back to sleep at night, because you'll die sooner if you don't. Okay.
A related question to that, not with 403B or any particular account, but with money I have in savings, should I pay off my house, or what's the difference between paying off your house versus paying payments and investing the extra income? Which would be better to do right now with money I have in savings? Paying off the house versus making the payments and investing the extra in the extra income into the market or something.
I think it's depends how disciplined you really are. Yeah. If you have the money in your savings and you could pay off your house, and you do pay off your house, which would be, that's the American dream. Yeah, and that's what they said years ago. That's not necessarily the truth today. Yeah, what they're trying to tell you out there. But if you, yeah, if you do pay off your house, then you need to put that money back into your savings, and that's how, you know, are you disciplined in doing that? Or are you, you know, all of a sudden have all kinds of other ideas about spending that money, then all of a sudden you have nothing. Yeah.
And that's if it's to a house. If you have debt that's unsecured, you need to get rid of that. So
absolutely.
Unsecured debt's not a good thing to have. A house is an asset, so that's just a side note on that.
And that would include what?
Credit cards, lines of credit, signature, that $5,000 somebody wanted for, no, just kidding. you know, signature loans, credit cards, all those things, they generally carry high rates of return. And from my experience, most people really aren't that great at investing, and they don't make more than they would get, than they would save on paying the loan. So, you know, most people should just pay on the loan.
See, that's where net worth principle comes in. If you have unsecured debt, student loans, you borrowed 100% on a car, 100% on a house, you're already a negative, yeah, on your net worth.
Another question. I'm having trouble paying my credit card bill. What should I do?
Well, just like what we talked about earlier, contact a credit card company. They're all different in how they would respond, but I think if you call them right away before you get into, you know, a past due situation, they will listen much better than if all of a sudden, if you're 30, 60 days past due, all of a sudden the person you talked to on the other end could, you know, be a little tough, you know, on that.
Okay, two questions that are similarly related. First is, I want to buy a home soon. How difficult will it be now to get a mortgage?
If you come to AGCU,
Well, the thing is,
actually, to tell you the truth, I just talked to a banker just a little bit ago, and they're 135% loaned out, and they have no money to lend. We do have money to lend. There, again, it goes back to, is that if you have good credit, yeah, and you have good income, and now the banks are starting to go back to the way it was 10 years ago, which they should have never left that policy. But if you still have the debt-to-income ratio, if you have some money for a down payment, you're going to get
good credit score. Yeah, it's interesting. My wife, she really doesn't pay attention to the finance stuff all that much. And one day we go to get a mortgage, and I pull up, and she's got a better credit score than me. And I'm like, you know, how's that? And the reality is, you know, if you just live your life and do things pretty normal and decent, and it'll keep a good score. It's when you don't do things or you do bad things for yourself that pulls it down. But you can still get a mortgage. And the great thing is if you don't own a house right now and you can get a mortgage, you actually have a great opportunity to will and deal and to actually get a good deal, because some people are in distress and you know, it's their loss. But you can actually build your net worth significantly into the future by taking advantage of that.
This is a question about the housing market right now. I have a house that I bought before the housing market took a dive in order to flip for a profit. Do I keep it on the market or rent it out for a year or two until things settle down and hopefully go back up? Do I keep it on the market or rent it out for a year or two?
You know, one thing that's occurred since it is harder to get a mortgage, and that's went away, it has a natural result is that there's more renters. So we see this scenario. I've seen it several times, been asked this question. The reality is you might be better off renting it because there's a lot of people in all different income ranges from, you know, it's not necessarily just low income that rents. It can be up in higher income now due to different situations because if they have a bad credit score, they might not be able to get that mortgage. So selling may be very difficult right now. You may have to take a big loss and might not even be able to handle it with the loan on it. So, but most of the people I know that own rental properties, own apartments, they are packed. So the rental boom has come back around. So that would be my two cents is you probably make off better renting and cash flow it that way.
Great. What advice would you give to one who is already past 45? I guess their 45 was like their golden year or something. I'm not sure. So already past 45, but still does not have a solid, firm financial base. Essentially, you know, what should one do if they haven't started having a solid financial base and they're past 45 at this point? What advice would you give someone?
Well, the reality is it does get harder and harder, and a lot of times people want me to give a real easy scenario. It's going to be more difficult. You're going to have to save more. You're going to have to make more sacrifices on things, maybe. One thing I do notice is a lot of people, when they get in that 45-plus range, they may have teenagers or kids going to college, and they sacrifice their retirement savings to pay their kids through college, which is noble and great, I guess. But the reality is they're beginning their life, probably working a little extra might actually make them more marketable when they get out and get a job. So let them do some of that and then stay on your financial picture track as far as saving for retirement. But you will have to save more. And one thing people get confused on, they think I need to take more risk because I don't have much and I don't have much more time. That's not the case. The way it really works, the more money you have and the more time you have, the more risk you can take. So don't get sucked in that trap. I'm 100% in stocks because I have to catch up. Well, that's not how it works. You can't handle losing much money. So don't get yourself in that snare. I see that a lot. Because the reality is the rich seem to get richer, right? It's because those who have money can take greater risk and make a greater reward on their money. But don't get sucked up in that if you're 55 and you're trying to almost roll the dice and increase your risk just to catch up.
I'd like to add to that, and that is no matter if you're 45 or 55 or you're 25, yeah, and you're married, is one thing that you want to do is sit down with your spouse and talk about finances, yeah, and going over a budget, going over your goals, yeah, for the next 5 years. And then you can reevaluate those even year after year. As your kids even get older, I suggest that you even sit down with your children, yeah, that will understand about finances and help them and show them where you're coming from on the goals that you have set for the family. Yeah, so you do need to plan, no matter if it's for retirement or purchasing a car or a home or whatever it might be, sit down together. I know that I've done a lot of talk with couples, and the one thing that we all have experienced, every one of us, maybe there are some exceptions out there, but if you want to have a bad evening, go up to your spouse and say, let's talk about our finances. And as you're ungluing them from the wall, yeah, and sitting down, then actually, and this is a warning, it will take a few times sitting down to finally get on the same page, because both of you are going to defend your turf, defend what you're doing, yeah, and that's when the give and take is going to have to take place. So I would highly suggest doing that. It's going to be the most difficult thing you've ever done in your life, but it's worthwhile.
As we start to wrap up here, I just want to give you both a few minutes to maybe say something or say maybe one last piece of advice for everyone, is if there's one thing that they could hang on to as far as the thing that's sort of been coming up time and time again, is this whole what to do with the amount of fear that I have and helping combat that. So as we close, I just want to give you a few seconds to make some closing remarks here.
Well, I'll tell you, our hope is not in man. Yeah. Our hope is not in our finances. Our hope is totally in the Lord. And if you're putting your hope on your retirement or your savings or the equity in your home, yeah, you're going to be in trouble. Because what if all of a sudden the Lord speaks to you and say, I want you to go and do this. I want you to go and sell all. Would you be willing to do it? Because our hope is not in all the things we have. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's been drummed into our minds because of us as Americans, is that we want to get more stuff, bigger stuff, more things that we can show to the public that, look, we have arrived. We got all the things in this world, and it's exciting. All of a sudden, with this economic situation, it has totally turned people upside down, including Christians. And boy, this is where you need to turn and put all your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your only answer. Yeah, but still be wise, be planning, setting goals, just like what I talked earlier.
Great.
Well, and one thing, I guess I'll mention my book, Net Worth Principle. I came up with the concept by Net Worth Principle, and it's something I learned from my grandmother, or grandfather. My grandmother just passed away a couple weeks ago, and it made me remember my grandfather a lot. And the reality is, the way he lived works. It's a way to build up. It's simple, natural, easy to build up so you can retire. He retired in his early 60s, lived to 91, golfed 3 times a week, had a great life, traveled. To me, that seems like a lot of fun. And I think that's what a lot of people want. They just want something normal. They're not looking for to be super rich and things like that. But to use those principles, and you can go to networthprinciple.com if you want, find some resources there that you can pull down. But start to focus on that. Focus on your net worth, whether it's $50,000 negative, $50,000 positive, $200 positive, and maybe it's $1 million. Whatever it is, begin to focus on that because it will help you from a practical standpoint to keep you away from the things that are bad, the debts that are bad for you, and push you to make the right choices. It's really a simple way, so you don't need to run to a guy like me to be your advisor and tell you exactly what to do. It actually puts it really into a way that I think you can understand and then apply that in your life and get moving in the right direction. And, of course, there's never a time like today to start, get going in the right way.
And I just want to just thank you for giving Paul and myself the opportunity to come and share about this. I enjoy a setting like this. And again, all of you are welcome to come to the credit union. If you have any questions, feel free to come. We will try to help whatever we can. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Can we express our appreciation to Paul and Ed? Thank you guys so much. I'm going to ask them if they would just kind of stay around, and if your question didn't get answered, maybe you guys could stay available for a little bit. And again, at the table, any resources that you may have. But before we go, I would like to close in a word of prayer, because this is it's a sensitive subject that I think for many people who are perhaps in a difficult time, it's hard for them to share. And I would encourage you that if you are going through a difficult time, maybe try the Financial Peace Seminar or or take a friend out and just break through this. And man, I need some help. Can I just talk with you about something or whatever? It doesn't even have to be a financial advisor. Start with a friend, because I've seen the enemy time and time again use just the good old pride, you know, that we have to keep people from actually getting help. And it was the second biggest thing Jesus mentioned in his teachings was about money. And this many, the first being the kingdom of God, but the second being money. And it's interesting how this can be sort of an idol for us if we don't keep this in check with the Lord. And that's what we've been echoing tonight: seek first the kingdom of God. And that's the most important thing. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, a very practical night. But Lord, I believe one that is timely, one that is needed. And Lord, we just pray that for those that may be here, Lord, in a difficult situation, Lord, you just intervene in their situation. Would you be the provider in their lives? And where there are great needs of provision, may you come alongside, encourage, Lord. I pray for just a miraculous intervention for those that may be in severe distress. Lord, for those that are engulfed with fear this night, we pray, Lord, faith. Lord, we lean into you during tough times. We don't push you away. Lord, we just embrace the heart of the gospel, the heart of what you taught us, Lord, through your ministry while here on earth, that we should trust in you, we should lean into you, we should not rest in the things of this world, and our identity is not found in those things which we can lose. Lord, it's in you. So, Lord, we just pray your covering over us tonight, your protection, Lord, over our households, over our finances, and Lord, we do trust you. And Lord, in your name, we just pray against any fear that would come against us and debilitate us, paralyze us from the faith which you've called us to live in. Father, help us, we pray. We pray all these things in your strong name, the name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Let's express our appreciation one last time to them. Thank you much. We'll see you next week. And God bless you. Make sure you mix and mingle before you leave. God bless you guys.